cliffcentral.com.
Big cricket show today. You had the rugby show last week, and now it's 2016 in cricket. It's been a crazy year, and none more crazy than the world of cricket. It started out with all kinds of announcements and funny things, and now it's ending in, well, a lot of hope and happiness and all kinds of good things. It's one of those few sports that, as the South Africans, can still talk about on a global scale without being laughed at, which is really nice and it's really exciting. So today, I've assembled my all-star cast. I'm so excited I can't even say the word cast, of Langdon Bat and Simi Arif. Morning, guys. Hello.
Morning. Hello, we back. Hello, we back. Ben.
This, of course, is the all-star cast that you might have heard through the cricket commentary that we did during the T20 World Cup, which was one of the highlights for my year, also one of the lowlights for the Proteas.
Yeah. I just want to say something as we do this. Well done. You've become a really good radio DJ. Okay? You speak when the song is on. I like that.
I was going to say the music's got a hell of a lot better since the last time.
Well, and screw you guys. I intro my show like this every single bloody week. And also,
Ben is learning how to press the buttons still.
Because he's doing that slidey thing. I can't hear myself at all still.
I can't hear any of you guys.
Hey, look, that's a headphone thing, unfortunately.
Oh, wow.
Come on. You come here and you want 10 out of 10 every single time. Yeah.
Ben, you are owning that desk.
That is the problem with you, Simi. Your expectation too high.
As long as you guys can hear me, then I'm fine.
Yeah, well, we can hear you loud and clear, and okay, your voice has always been appreciated. I don't keep track of how many times people do appear on this show, but Simi, I think you do take it. This is it. Today, you're the most prolific
guest
on the Vance Show.
It makes me happy too. I'm so happy. Thank you.
I look up from my microphone and look at two people whose cricket opinions I really enjoy, I'm going to combine it all in a big year review. And hopefully you can think back on this over the face of the season and go, well, you know, 2016, wish it wasn't that bad. And you'll be able to do so all in the back of the show.
Ooh.
Jeez, that's a big claimer.
I was going to say, no pressure. Yeah.
All right, so let's get straight into it, right? So what I've done is I've compiled the list of everything that happened from month to month. And it was the year of the test match, right?
Yes.
Is it about that? I'm going to kill my intro song there. There we go. That's it.
That is so good, hey?
Yeah.
He's really come a long way.
So January, right? So let's just... It was the year of the test match. There's no doubt about it. There was 43 test match played up until this point. Yeah. There's still England going to play India. If England rock up, I reckon they're going to go to Dubai and just stay there.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they prefer their life on the beach. And then, of course, the Proteas will take on Sri Lanka. Australia will take on Pakistan. So 2016 is not dead yet on the test front. But 43 tests and only 7 draws.
Good 36 times results.
I don't know if it's the dodgy pitches, the fact that being one-sided kind of confrontations, whatever it was a very, very exciting year for test matches. And it started off with an absolute bang, okay? Now, we all know how it started from a South African perspective.
It was horrible.
It was pretty horrible.
Why did you say it was
a bang? It
was
horrible.
Well, look, guys, it was a bang. It was England banging South Africa pretty hard. It started last year in Durban, which is something that's very strange that the South Africans do, is that they go to Durban so the other team can win. It's bizarre. But the strangest part about that whole
beginning of the year, we don't like whitewashing people.
And also because you know it's going to rain.
Also true.
All the time. So we only won a 3-day test.
Yeah.
But the big part of it all started in Newlands. That's where the year started. And I think when Chris Morris opened the bowling for the Proteas with a new ball.
You had a feeling.
Horrible.
Maybe this team isn't in the best place right now. But then this happened. So your headphones were working a second ago. Langdon, what did you do?
Yeah, I don't know. I can hear you guys anyway.
No, it's just important because
I was busy on Instagram, and then
because there's a variety of clips that I play.
I can hear the clips. I just can't hear you guys.
Okay, all right. So this is how it starts, right, with this important announcement.
Over the last couple of days, the decision was made at least 2 weeks ago. Certainly after giving it a lot of thought. I mean, as I said earlier, captaining your country, probably the pinnacle of anybody's anybody's ambition. So
it was until Hashim Ahmed didn't want it anymore.
Yeah, it was not his pinnacle.
So why I did it now?
Because I'm scoring
so
no runs.
I got 200, and I'm glad that.
I think that's why I did it now.
That's exactly what he said.
It fitted nicely that the South African team did exceptionally well on the last day. So it just so happened, as I said, that it happened today. It was coming for the last 2 weeks. So that's it.
We've asked AB de Villiers to step in. He is the vice captain. He will see the series through. We know what AB is, an experienced leader in his own right.
So for things like this, what I like to do is provide the actual words into it, okay? So what happened was that Hash had a terrible time in India. I mean, we got clobbered left, right and center under his watch.
Yeah.
We came back, we started playing England hammered.
Yeah.
Hammered.
Yeah.
And then after about 2 days, we were also hammered, and then they decided to bat, and he got a 200, Bavuma got 100.
Yeah.
So he was like, okay, cool, I'm going to go out on a slight high. And then Harun Logot came in and basically said, well, you know, there's no one else. We've basically got AB, and AB will do whatever we say, thankfully.
I don't know if I agree with that,
I can just tell you, just listening to that clip, Hashim Amla never sounded like a captain. even to a point where he's like, I was just like, God, I don't even inspire confidence in you, my man. It's like, I love the guy to pieces, but Jesus, he was shit.
Yeah, so do you reckon that AB was just the next guy in line, or there's no one,
yeah.
or, and this is my take on it, everyone knew that he was going to duck from Test match cricket. He was out. And it's like, you know, when you're playing back garden cricket with your brothers and he's like, no, don't want to play anymore. You go, okay, well, you can bat then. Yeah. And then he goes, oh, okay, fine.
I think it was close to that.
So my opinion is that everyone knew that he was on his way out from test matches. It was just a little too long, and he can score 150 in 49 balls. He doesn't need to do it in 3 days.
Exactly.
And he was just like, well, okay, guys, I'm packing up. And they were like, hold on. What if we give you the captaincy?
And Langdon, what evidence do you have to support this opinion?
Well, the fact that he did it.
That's good.
But Langdon, I'm glad you bring up the point, because we're starting this show with the Proteas captaincy, and we're going to end with it too.
Great.
So, this is it.
Oh, great.
Sheep, is it all this works?
It's structure. So this is what Harun Logot had to say, basically, at the announcement that Hashim Amla stepped down.
That through the next two test matches, AB will lead and look to turn around the series so that we're still in with a chance.
So basically, AB was thrown a hospital pass of some notes.
Fact.
And that was it. That was Harun Logot just kind of confirming that. The funniest part of the press conference, though, Russell Domingo sat there like we would sit there, not knowing exactly what's happening next. And then after Harun was just giving some platitudes.
After this series, our next series is only in August. So
it was then Russell to go, shit, I've got nothing to say. Well, let's talk about fixtures, because that's all I know right now.
Still a little bit of time for that decision to be made. I suppose AB's a front runner to do that. I mean, that's the bottom line. That's
I love how the head coach of your national side goes, ugh, well, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
and then he's just talking about the fact that AB is the front runner, even though he's not got the job. So Russell doesn't know whether he's coming or going at this stage.
You know my opinion on Russell Domingo. I don't think we have a long enough podcast for this.
But let's just listen to a little bit more of Russell as he's now umming and ahhing going, how the hell did I not know about this?
He's been asked to do it for these next couple of test matches, and the board and the selectors will need to sit down with AB once the series is done and plan a way forward.
So he's kind of just said, well, look,
good job description. He's like, guys, the board meets and they sit down with the captain and they choose a team. And yeah, and there's fixtures coming up. We're playing teams.
And basically, as long as they got my tracksuit size.
That's it. I feed the boiling machine.
I just want to say I did a Cricket South Africa corporate gig.
Good going, Sam.
Thank you. Nice. Yeah, Russell Domingo was there.
Nice.
They love him, man. So it doesn't matter what we say. We're idiots.
Yeah, I know. We give him a hard time.
Well, they love him because they can do what they like.
He got a contract extension as well this year.
Yeah.
You guys don't know your shit.
We do.
Russell Domingo's the guy.
What are you talking about? You've not seen my prep.
Ben's
getting
holding
to it.
A piece of paper.
I'm getting to it. So
that means something.
You don't jump the gun just to try and make it look like you know what you're talking about. But, you know, like, okay, we joke, but just it was the body language and the kind of things that came out of that press conference I found so funny. Amla was relieved. He was like, job gone.
Yeah.
Harun Logot was like, steadfast. It's okay. We're going to go business as usual. And then Russell was like, I don't know. Who knows?
That's how comedy works, guys. There's a little bit of comic relief after the tension.
That is how comedy works. Spot on. So then after that, we drew the test match at Newlands because, mm-hmm. well, let's be honest, it wasn't a pitch for bowlers. And then went to the Wanderers.
And you think it also wasn't a pitch for our bowlers?
Well, that too. That too. And then we went to the Wanderers and proceeded to lose again. So AB's first job in captaincy. And he lost horribly. And I think he got a duck. And like two or something, he didn't score much. He wasn't there for long.
It was horrible.
So to kind of just put into perspective what that meant was that after that, there was talk about AB's retirement further to Langdon's
game.
So in order to bring that into perspective, I now have a computer-generated voice, which basically is the best voice for this because it was such a ponderous topic, this. AB was talking about the fact that he's committed to the pro tiers, everything's going to be okay, but he also kind of want to work his work out. Anyway, so listen to this. This is actually one of my favorite clips for the entire show. Because, you know, with rights issues and stuff, you can't always get the press conferences.
Yeah.
Okay, so listen to this guy sum up the AB de Villiers managing the workload.
AB de Villiers said on Wednesday he was fully committed to leading South Africa in the next two tests against England, but confirmed there was a bit of truth in rumors he was considering retirement. De Villiers took over the test captaincy after Hashim Amla resigned as captain of the South African team following the drawn second test against England. For 2 or 3 years I've been searching for the right answers to play a little less cricket in one way or another, to keep myself fresh and enjoy the game, he said. De Villiers, 31, admitted, every now and then I find I am not enjoying myself as much as I should be. I've been talking to a few people and obviously that's leaked. De Villiers was speaking ahead of the third test against England, which starts at their Wanderers Stadium on Thursday, the first time he has spoken directly to journalists since an article appeared in a local newspaper claiming he was thinking of quitting. I'm still very committed to the job, he said. The two test matches now is all that I am focusing on.
So Langdon, I hate to break up something so eloquent, but Langdon's point might actually be very true in that they were thinking like, okay, Hash is going to be captain. AB didn't get the job when Hash got it, so there he was kind of pissed off, and his form was up and down, his T20 ranking was going up. So this announcement actually came before the test of the Wanderers, which he completely lost. Now he's going, oh, fuck, this is going badly already. So that was how the Proteas started their year.
I'm just really surprised that Anonymous is behind cricket. I mean,
there's a nice big break of 6 months before we play test cricket again. Lots of things can.
Now, the fact that Domingo quoted this break of 6 months and AB is using the quote of 6 months, these guys were so obsessed by the 6 months.
I think they were looking forward to the break, bro.
The Proteas started the year looking forward to 6 months off.
Yeah. As fans, that's exciting.
I'm still upset that no one came out and apologized for that test. I know it's the end of the year, and not one apology.
Simi, you were at the Wanderers test, and not happy. You had everything lined up for a great test match, and those guys physically broke your heart.
They fucked it up, like, on the third day. They were just like, when you get to the middle of a test match, you're like, I've got two more days. Then they're just like, no, I'll show you. I'm going to fuck up the whole test match today. I was upset with them.
Well, what else ever happened? Okay, so January wasn't the greatest start, but Themba Bavuma burst into the scene with the 100. Hash got a double 100. Our bowlers eventually came right. Kagiso Rabada was incredible.
Yes.
And Stephen Cook made a 100 on debut.
Yeah, it was great.
So it wasn't a complete terrible abortion of a month. We still managed to get something back there. While that was taking place, the Aussies were thrashing India in ODIs because that's what happened. India went there for like 7 months or whatever.
Yeah,
they basically have families there now. So
England. Yeah, well, they're cricket players, so they do have families there now.
Well, also true. Yeah, what happens on tour. So that was your January month. England did beat South Africa 2-1 in that Test series, and as well, like England, they just rolled over in the end there. I remember going to Centurion to catch the last day's play. I think they started the day on 3 or 4 wickets.
And they were done by 11.
They lost 6 wickets on the drive from Rivonia here in Johannesburg to Centurion.
I remember I took the Gautrain. And as I got off the Gauteng at Centurion, I looked at my phone and they had one wicket remaining. And I was like, not the way you go about this.
Yeah. So which brings us to February. And the Aussies were playing New Zealand in New Zealand in test matches. Absolutely hammered them there, 2-0. Mm-hmm. You can't even remember that because it was so uneventful. And then it was the English versus SA in the ODI. So they stuffed us in the test. And then they started stuffing us in the ODIs as well. Remember that first game played in Bloom?
Yeah, they
scored
remember,
like 400 and something.
Yeah.
England started scoring 400s this year, which was also something that kind of depressed me. And then our guys were doing pretty well, and then it started to rain, and then it was...
I just
didn't we win the series, though?
Hang on, Sammy.
Ooh, I can imagine Nasu Sen. I can picture Nasu Sen just being the biggest wanker.
I hate that guy.
When the English are doing well. When they score 400, you can just imagine, if he's on air or not, you can just imagine...
Well,
that guy is literally the opposite of Hashim Amla. Not a nice person. Nasu and Hussein, captain.
Michael Vaughan, Mark Nicholas. There's quite a few Nick Knight.
Jesus.
There's a lot of guys.
All these people that you've mentioned.
Oh. So love you. We love you, Sky. Sport.
It was quite an enthralling ODI series because South Africa just lost the test matches. Now they're 2-0 down, right?
Yeah.
But then something really amazing happened in that pink ODI, which we never lose. We finally looked like we were going to lose. It was just terrible. At 100 and... what's it? 100 and... This thing got out of the way here. So Chris Morris, right? He became a hero out of nowhere in that series.
Yeah.
So 191 for six. They needed 72 from 76, but there were six down, right? Now, I might add, after the bedrock of Behardin's 38 from 42, South Africa were at least in a position where they could
do
this.
Not a bedrock.
Behardin time.
So Morris on 14 was dropped, and this is where England started becoming England of old again. They were getting hammered to all parts of the ground. And a lot of people had left by this stage.
It was a great innings.
I was there in the stadium. I thought, screw it. I'm just going to go home. I'm that kind of guy sometimes.
I had drinks vouchers, so I wasn't going to go anywhere.
I was not that guy. I was not that guy.
So Chris Morris went from the guy who took the new ball at Newlands, and everyone was going, oh. To then being Chris Morris, the guy with the bats, hammering England. So they went from a stage of not being in... close to winning.
Was Mike Hazeman excited there? I mean, I think he talks like that normally.
Wait, hang on.
Hammered it again. Got another four.
Yeah, he was excited.
Stick that up. Smashed it. Six runs.
So that was a deal for a shit. Eventually rolled it on the ground. He got out. But Proteas won that one by one wicket, which then set up the big decider. Morris again came to the fore. And 3-2, that was what the Proteas did to England. So it was a nice sort of comeback, but everyone there was then saying, yeah, but test matches, all that matters. It's all that really matters, which is a fair point.
And all those people are sitting in this room right now.
Yeah.
Because that is the truth.
Pretty much. Which then led us into March, okay? So everything stopped in March because it was the T20 World Cup. Yes. There's a different name to it, the T20 something. Yeah. Like, they don't call it World Cups, isn't it?
World T20 or something.
There we go. And it was, well, another situation where the Proteas got everyone's hopes up because they went there with a pretty solid side. Yeah. These guys all play IPL. Yeah. Guys like Chris Morris are seasoned and much sought after for these franchises. Abe de Villiers basically shoots thunder out of his arse in India.
Yeah. Imran Tahir takes wickets. As
greatest spin bowler in the world. So everyone thought, like, this is it. This is actually it. And what did they do? They go out in their first game, 229 for four after 20 overs. These guys are on fire, on Protea fire. Everyone's getting drunk.
Where's that song, Ben? You need that song now.
I made a pledge to myself. I'll never play Fireball ever again. We've been there. We've got to stop it.
Yeah, I remember. It was great. Good game.
Just killing Topley and all those other guys from England, 229 for four. What can go wrong?
Everything.
Pretty much everything.
Everything.
England got the runs, and it was embarrassing because England got stuffed in the first game by West Indies. Chris Gayle basically just stepped a leg and hit them for like everything.
Yeah.
And it was, again, everyone's going, oh, the Proteas choked. They then beat Afghanistan, even though the Afghanistan captain was having a go at the fact that he wished Dale Steyn was playing so he could hammer him.
I remember that was our game that we commentated on, and there was a point where we were all going, geez, Afghanistan could do this.
Opening
batsman Shahzadi made like a 50 off like, I don't know, it was like 19 balls. We were like, we're going to get embarrassed.
In the beginning, he was killing us. So then they went on to lose the West Indies after posting a measly 122 for 8. It was another classic choke, and then they were out. So they beat Sri Lanka, admit nothing, so they were out. Which got us into a very enthralling sort of semis because England were taking on New Zealand. New Zealand were killing it because they had the really good spinners. England, they just made it somehow. And that was the one semis. New Zealand was a huge favourite to win that. England somehow won it. And then it was West Indies versus India. So India, again, were the favourites, but then West Indies, they got through to the final. So we had this really amazing final where it was West Indies versus England, and England were in the pound seats, but like, they were killing it. Until Carlos Braithwaite came to the crease.
And did other things.
Other things happened, but still, England was so far ahead, even with all the heroics of the guys later on in the order. They needed 19 from 6, which brings us into one of the most interesting overs from this year, and one that is still haunting Ben Stokes.
Best overs, I reckon.
Yeah, it was incredible.
Very good selection.
Here are the commentators talking about the very good selection of Ben Stokes, getting the ball. He's a man for the big moment.
So bearing in mind, we've just said how horrible human beings those English commentators are.
Well, yeah, exactly. But here they are gushing, just like we were saying, and now they're going to get the comeuppance. Notice there is not a sound in the stadium, and this is India. These oaks are constantly on max. There's no volume control here.
That's because there's no India there.
And all this talking now, Ian Bishop, all this talking. Somebody's got to deliver. It's Ben Stokes.
Who, in fairness, is badly sunburnt at this point in time. He's been in India for a while. He's badly sunburnt.
I'm going to let go.
It's not an easy place for a ginger.
No.
So
for me, in this format now, you've got to run in with a preset plan, but once you...
Yeah, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so it's a capacity crowd and it is hushed. Fields getting placed, Braithwaite on strike, 19 of 6 is needed.
Line or pace. Some bowlers don't think it's possible. I believe a lot of bowlers think about it and do it.
First ball, here it comes.
Oh, heaved into the leg side. Oh, West Indies, that helps.
So it was a crushing 6 of the first ball. 13 from 5. Fireworks everywhere.
That is a strong area.
And Owen Morgan is going, ah, shit.
Oh, damn it.
No, no, we're cool. Guys, we're cool. It's 13 off 5. We're cool. We got this. We got this. Everything's going to be okay.
This is it in an Irish accent, though.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Yeah. So Ben Stokes looks on, but he's thinking as well. 13 off 5. It's cool. Guys, we got this. We got
all
this.
That chatting.
Next ball.
Field change. They're all over the place. Oh, big shot.
You know you can hear that impact, huh?
Yeah.
That ball is gone.
Yeah, that was the thing. And now Ben Stokes is now...
He's panic. A little bit of panic.
Panic. It's now 7 off 4. They went to the final over. Dead set favourites. 2 balls later,
you
7 off 4.
Be a player in the future, Carlos Braithwaite? You think he has some talent? It ain't over yet.
Good time to talk about his credentials and who will he be a player in the future.
Ian Bishop was only talking about the bowler 2 balls ago.
He's the man for the moment.
Yeah.
Frequency of ideas, dead set, sky's a winner.
Absolutely for sure.
It's still on, the balance though. 7 from 4, a dot ball here, a bit of pressure. Maybe get the guy off strike.
He had 18 to play with.
Let's see what happens with the third ball.
What a start to this final over. 6-6. Stokes to come again.
Field is now scattered in other places that they thought it could scatter.
But not 4 rows back.
Oh, it's high in the air again. Oh, it's 3 sixes. And that is 18 gone.
Can't.
Look at the West Indies.
Ben Stokes is now in the fetal position on the floor, basically. The West Indies are all over the place. It's gone from 19 from 6. Now they need 1 from 3. Ben Stokes is actually crying. This was such a big moment. Oh, the field scatters again. Ben Stokes is offered a tissue.
He is a big unit and he is flawed.
Ian Bishop is now essentially proclaiming Braithwaite as the greatest West Indian cricketer of all time.
And his son. Yeah.
And he's not mentioning Stokes one bit. Now there's a hold up in play while Morgan's chatting to the umpire. About what? I have no idea.
Guys, how do we deal with this? Is there trauma counselling afterwards?
He basically went up to him.
That's wrong.
He basically went up to him and said, look, as an ICU3 team, can we not just do away with those last 2 sixes? I mean, can we not just have 13 of 3?
Yeah.
And Umpire's like, I'll look into it. That's why there's a big hold-up. Eventually, it comes back that they can't ratify such a decision just yet, so they had to play on. 1 from 3. Stokes is still crying at this stage.
Braithwaite has breathed a breath of life back into this West Indies chase and history.
Stokes doesn't want a ball. He's standing there with the ball, going, oh, fuck, "Okay."
That's what if I was him, I'd become a spinner.
Yeah,
I'd bowl some off spin.
Delay here because they're going to change the ball.
Now they want to change the ball. Basically, they want to come back with a stick of dynamite. They're hoping for the best here. This hold-up here was just so funny because we all know the game's done, right? Okay, let's change the ball. Yeah, it's going to make a big difference. From nine deliveries. Brathwaite had scored 28 from 9 at this stage. 311. The entire West Indian team is on the boundary going, get on with it. The English wags are still praying because they don't quite know the rules.
Most people are in the circle. One out to deep mid-wicket. 19, the most in a final over in T20 internationals to change. Carlos Brathwaite!
Wow.
So the fourth ball went for six as well. Tell us how you feel, Ian Bishop. Tell us exactly how you feel.
Wow.
What a match we've had here at Eden Gardens.
See, I really would have loved to have happened there if Stokes has given the last two balls just a ball for sake of prosperity.
Yeah, to see how many, to see if they could have got the six sixes.
He would have gone, gone for two.
Stokes is now on the floor again.
Good life.
And the West Indies are just taking their clothes off at this stage. And Stokes is still actually just... Everyone's left him. The constellations and all that kind of stuff, it's not finished. Everyone's rubbing his hair. He's going, oh, fuck off.
I don't know what I'm doing.
So that was the World T20. And it was really great afterwards because then Darren Sammy was basically saying, you know, this tournament is all for us and our fans, administrators. Yeah. Screw you guys. You're a bunch of dicks. We all hate you. This win's got nothing to do with you. And nothing to help us. So suck a bag of dicks. And that was just what you want to hear, really, after a big win. So that was the month of March, which then took us into May. And what always happens in May is teams go to England to boost James Anderson's average.
Yeah, to make him be considered a really good bowler.
Sri Lanka thankfully obliged that for his sake, and England beat them 2-0. That's how it goes. Then it was the big ODI triangular series, right? Now, this is where South Africa and Australia went over there. And obviously, West Indies have a very different team that plays ODI. Yeah. So unless you play domestically, the board there doesn't really care about you. So the T20 stars, they weren't really in the mix. There were other guys that came in. Naren was then deemed that he doesn't actually cheat, so he can bowl again.
Yeah.
And they played a bunch of really kind of boring ODIs and very boring venues. Goyan in particular started that ODI series. They played a doubleheader there. And I think the batsmen were going flat out to score 180. Yeah. It was boring as all hell. That series was the first time actually there was a Proteas win where either white guy bowling a single ball, which was something. It was a big highlight for the year. Press made a big deal about
this. Yeah.
It was a very much turning pitch. So Shamsi played, Tahir played, Pankiso played, and it was a good win all the same, which then got the Proteas into that familiar territory where they just needed to win one game in order to get into the final.
And they didn't want to do that.
And we know what happens.
Boy, did they.
And we know what happens when it's pretty much done and dusted for the Proteas.
I had family friends watching the game. There's two kids with their kids, right? And they're small. They're like 8 and 6.
But
like,
you just see that, yeah.
And you are no longer allowed to see them.
No. Like, they're really excited. Like, before the game, they got to meet like every villagers. They take all these photos and send it to me. And when they were capitulating, their moms in the pic, they're just playing on their iPhones.
Like, Candy Crush.
Yeah. Like, okay, this is soul destroying.
But it was another one of those situations where the way they played in the beginning, and they, you know, like the practice of a lot of bowlers right now, the fact that Morkel's not even getting a look in, and then they brought him back for this game against the West Indies, and he went for shit the whole time, and then that was it. They were out in their ass. Australia had the Windies in the final, completely hammered them, because the West Indies were very much the third team in that tournament, which then got us to the Cricket South Africa review. So they had this whole review, because at this stage of the year, right, the Proteas didn't have a good start.
Yeah.
They lost the T20 World Cup and then got hammered in this tri-series where they should have at least made the final.
Yeah.
So now everyone's going, oh, Russell Domingo, you're pulling the piss now. You've got to go. The Cricket South Africa review fell away because they couldn't meet up with enough people in time. They couldn't schedule the things they wanted to do. It basically amounted to nothing.
So that scares me. That scares me. So our governing body of our sporting code or whatever goes, guys, it's just, you know what, I'm busy on Wednesday, I've got a, you know, golf gig, and then I've got
I think it's a bit more intricate than that, though. It's
it, like, really was, so because Landon, it was, because I wrote a blog post basically saying, seeing as you guys can't be asked to do this, I'll do it for you. And then I wrote the findings, and the Cricket South Africa, well, very generously said, well, how about you come and
look at
it? How about you come and say that here, basically?
Yeah. Well, Atif Kazi basically threw it down to Ben and said, come say to my face.
Yeah, obviously, those weren't the words used.
Those weren't the words, but it was dope.
Well, Atif Kazi, Randburg, South Africa.
Love that guy.
It was essentially, they granted me a meeting, which I thought was really cool. So obviously I went.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm what that guy who just slings crap and sits in the shadows, like every other internet troll. I went there and it was really cool. I got to meet Haroon Logat. I had a really great chat with Altaf Kazi, who's the cricket South Africa media man.
Yeah.
I guess somebody knows him well.
Good guy.
And we thrashed out all the different elements. And I was pleasantly surprised. And I'm not just saying this because there was a knife to my head or anything. It was a really cool meeting. So Langdon, when the public was saying, well, you guys can't get your act together, how hard can it be? There are many, many role players in the thing about how you change stuff, who decides it. And to get all these people to meet. Because when a big Cricket South Africa review was take place, you've got to talk to all the role players, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if you know this, but how often are SA's main players in one country for one time? Maybe 5-6 days at a time.
Yeah.
They're either playing county cricket, they're in T20 leagues, they're away. So they physically wanted to interview each and every player. So that would have meant flying around the world, all different stages. They had to then meet all different players from, players, conditioning staff, all the people who have a role player. So if you're going to have a comprehensive review, and again, I'm not saying that they did a good or bad job here. There's just more things that I found out about this. They couldn't get it all done. So they want to do it in different stages. They couldn't really agree on who the role players were in the actual board that were going to do it. So it was very, very difficult.
And they also couldn't find people. We were all laughing about Franz Opina, because I know I was. And then, like, they're just like, do you know how many ex-South African cricketers we asked? And they're just like, no.
Well, there was that too. It's not like everybody wanted to be a part of it.
Yeah.
But we were laughing about the fact that Adam Bakker was part of the thing. But it turns out he actually has played many a role in the back rooms of cricket.
Yeah.
Both domestically, internationally, that kind of stuff. So maybe he was the good guy to go to. Dr. Ross Tuck was also involved from a more scientific standpoint. But he's also a very busy guy. He's got a lot of things to do. He's very committed to world rugby right now.
Yeah.
So it wasn't easy and it didn't happen. But while I was there, I was given a full rundown of what's happening transformation-wise and the various structures in play. And I was so surprised by the fact that, but not so much surprised these guys had a good idea, is that they actually weren't being kind of dictated to by government. Government was saying this, this, and this. And they were going, we're kind of the best people in line here to make this happen. So we're not going to just say, we're not do what you say.
Which is refreshing.
It was very refreshing. And I still got this book at home. It's the whole basic transformation chart of how these things work, what happens to players. I've mentioned it throughout the year, so I'm not going to get into it now because I haven't got enough time. But it was a really cool meeting. And on the back of that, I left there thinking, okay, maybe SA Cricket's not in the big toilet that we all think it is. And that, for me, is when the year turned around. It was a watershed moment, and that was...
Ben, if it wasn't for you, we wouldn't...
So are we saying...
This good position.
If it wasn't for Ben, SA Cricket...
SA Cricket would be...
You know what, Ben? Thank you. South Africa would like to thank you.
Langdon, it really isn't, because what I was going to say is that, for me, it was an understanding of what's going on, and then quite fortuitously, everything else turned around, okay?
So you know what it sounded like, though? Like, if I closed my eyes at the moment when you said it...
It's about bloody time you started understanding, Ben.
Guys, if I didn't have that fucking meeting, and if the penny didn't drop in my head.
Do you know how shit we'd be?
No, but it was like a fortuitous time, because from there we had the Cricket SA Awards, right?
Yeah.
Where Kakiso Rabada won everything.
Yeah.
Basically everything. I was at the awards. Yeah. It was
great. Who invited you?
That's what happens when you fix South African cricket. You just get an invite.
Who invited you?
Cricket South Africa invited me. It was a joyous occasion. It was, I got to meet all the stars. I got a picture with Fayon Beardine.
Did you get your little miniature bat signed by all the acts? You should have bought one.
I got a picture.
Oh.
So if you go into Instagram, Langdon, you'll see my picture with his underrated cricketer.
It's not going to happen.
I saw it and I outed him. I was like, look at this motherfucker.
But but Kakiso Rabada, he got 6 awards that night, right?
Yeah.
And he did have the most incredible breakout year internationally. He didn't play IPL cricket. He played county cricket because he wants to develop his craft. Mm-hmm. This guy, as we all know, is the future. He is the be-all, the everything. So that was July, which was a really nice thing because we weren't really playing at the time. We just suffered all this losses and it was really cuck. So the cricketing nation needed a shot in the arm, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
But what else happened in July? Well, England, they played Pakistan. They got hammered at Lord's by Pakistan.
Best.
Yeah, that was really nice.
Is that the season when Pakistan became number one test team?
Correct. I mean, at the end of that, because India went to West Indies thinking that they can get easy points out there, then West Indies became quite stubborn. It rained a lot. India didn't get the results. Pakistan got enough results for making the UAE their fortress, and they became the Test match mace holders, that mythical object, the mace.
That's so disappointing.
And they did it all by not playing a single game at home, when you think about it.
Do you know, if there's a team I dislike more than Australia, it's Pakistan.
Why? What's not to like about those guys?
I just every single time, I don't ever want to see them smiling. I have a prima facie case that they're all horrible people.
You reckon?
I don't want any success with that team.
Is that because Mickey Arthur's the coach, or because of match fixing and no balls?
That is a good question.
God, I don't know. I'm just like, have you ever just not liked something because
Mickey Arthur? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's your reason. I'm just like because.
All right, well, while Pakistan were having a joyous moment, much to the dismay of Simi RF over here, Australia were in Sri Lanka playing ODIs, right? Hammering Sri Lanka, hammering them.
Yeah.
It was a pretty bad precursor to what was about to happen to them, though. Wait, have I got that right? Yeah. Sri Lanka lost to England at home. Then they went, the test matches came before the ODIs.
Yeah.
God, it's a problem you got so much to look into. Sri Lanka got hammered in England. They then went home against Australia, playing bunch of guys who basically, I mean, they're all eventually called De Silva, Jaya Wadner down the line, somewhere along the line.
And then Matthews.
Yeah, so we're thinking, we don't know who these guys are. Sangakkara is now retired. Australia went there, and people were saying, well, Australia maybe not so good against spin. They sure as hell weren't. They lost 3-0 to Sri Lanka, okay? This was the start of their real rot as a cricketing team. So they lost that one 3-0. And then they bounced back in the ODIs. Also, they were just saying, look, we're going to rest some players because they've got the whole thing about, you know, monitoring their fast bowlers. But it was a very interesting month. That was July. And the Proteas weren't playing. But then they got back in action towards the end because New Zealand were going to come.
Yeah.
Now, the whole Proteas year, after that meeting I had, it was all turning around, right?
Yeah.
It was such a good time.
Well, obvious, man.
It was such a good time. But they were always going to be focusing on Australia. They had Australia at home in the ODIs, and they had them away in the Test cricket, okay? So anyone that came before that was always going to be nothing more than warm-ups.
Yeah.
No disrespect to New Zealand, who had a terrible year, by the way. I don't want to get more into that, but they've been hammered by everyone. They had New Zealand here, and they tried to use Durban as a winter venue again, which makes a lot of sense. The sun shines in Durban during winter. Yeah. Only problem was that they wanted to make the outfield softer and nicer to slide on, you know, not so abrasive. Mm. And they then turned into mud. Now, as you know, mud's not very good for cricket. So that whole test, basically, we batted for a little bit, and that was it.
Yeah.
So that first test match was gone. But it was all about Dale Steyn also coming back, because he sustained a bad shoulder injury against England. And he came back, and he came back firing, rolled over New Zealand, 1-0, they won that series. And it was a very good preparation for the rest of the year, that little turning point you spoke about, Landon. Which then took us to September, October. Now, before I get into this, we've just been singing Kagiso Rabada's praises, right? But then I found something that maybe would suggest that he had a bit of a slightly quieter second half of the year.
To get to these islands east of Madagascar, you had to work for it. For the Arab sailors who most likely discovered them, the archipelago was off the trading routes. They may have found them by endeavor and luck, but what brought Kagiso this far has been a thunderous entry to international cricket.
The first time you played for the Proteas was against Australia. That was quite a big game.
It was an amazing...
Wow.
Top billing can do an intro to a sportsman like that, huh? Only top billing.
Do you know, I had such a long conversation about Kagiso Rabada at that when we beat New Zealand.
Yeah,
it's like I was sitting with another comedian, and he said, "Do you think that Kagiso Rabada's security guard at his complex knows who he is?" Yeah, and I was like, "What do you mean?" He's like, "No, he probably just sees this guy who comes home with lots of white women and thinks this guy has a good life, but doesn't know what the fuck he does."
And then this happened.
To get to these islands,
I always get worried when our stars go on top billing, because that's basically when your security guard knows who you are and your complex first of all.
No, the security guard still doesn't know.
The boards, becoming the first player.
I just love how these guys talk.
SA Cricket Awards, including Test and ODI Cricketer of the Year.
You're one of the best bowlers at the moment. You're only 21. Did you ever think it was going to turn out this way?
No, I didn't think I really wanted to be good.
I wanted to be bang average my whole life.
I spent my whole life, and my dad wasted all this money for all this cricket coaching for me not to be a talent at 20.
Zero confidence. I just hate everything that's happened.
That was how I hoped it would all go. So that was Kagiso Rabada's balance, really. I mean, all the goodness. And then...
You laugh, but that's not the worst Kagiso Rabada interview.
I'm sure they're not. I think I had it with him at the Nissan
Day. Nope. December. I'm waiting for December, because when we were down there in Australia, end of November. Yeah. Mark Nicholas did one with him. Supersport flighted it. The honest to God, the worst interview with Gisa Rabada ever. So what do you do in your downtime? Get the fuck out of here, Mark Nicholas.
What do you do in your downtime? Yeah, is this a date?
What are you doing? How does it feel to bowl? Get the fuck out of here, Mark
Nicholas. Do you like bread?
Bro, it was horrible.
I watched little bits of that, and it did look a bit strange because it literally looked like he'd rented out the mug and bean, didn't Mark Nicholas? This creepy old English git literally rented out a coffee shop, and it was just the two of them.
Yes.
So, Kagiso. It's like,
Kagiso Rabada. This is like, you can just say one. You don't have to chew, you don't have to say both.
It was very cringe. So that led us into September, guys. Now, India had New Zealand there. You know Bloodsport, that movie with Jean-Claude Van Damme?
Yeah.
Remember that guy, Chong Lee?
Yeah.
Yes. So I remember every time Chong Lee fought someone, there was this air of inevitability. Basically, he would spar with them a bit, and then he would just like break their neck. That was kind of how India plays test matches now. These other teams go there, they think it's all very like normal. Screw that. Ashwin gets the ball, gets 6 for 73, and then that's it, they're done.
I just hate that India get the ball with the spinners in like the third over. Like
the ball one. The first. I mean, the seamer just stands at fine leg. You get in India, you get picked as a spinner, a batsman, an all-rounder, a wicketkeeper, a fine leg.
Yeah.
So guys like Yadav, you'll just be fine leg.
Yeah, just that's fine it. Leg.
So India thrashed New Zealand 3-0 there, and obviously with that, they reclaimed the mace. They then went into ODI tournament, which is a lot more even, because Guptill batted pretty well.
Yeah.
And Dhoni was up and down. But yeah, 3-2, eventually India won that one because they all put their mothers' names on their shirts and then they bowled them out for like 70 in the last game.
There we go.
Yeah, it was quite something. And in the test matches, well, it go back to some...
You know what we've summed up here? That if you want to change your cricket around...
Get Ben
you to... either get your mother's name on your shirt or get Ben...
Or get Ben to...
To chat to your governing body.
Yeah. Ben, you are the key. You are the mace.
You're welcome. You're welcome, ICC. I want to hold you
sideways.
Davey boy, we've got the answer. We've got the answer.
Basically, if I just plank, you can present me as a mace.
Yeah.
But then England went to Bangladesh, okay? And Bangladesh, this was about time they actually won a game against a big team. They had the chances in the ODI, so went down to the decider. England eventually won that one. In the first test, they also England against the wall. Didn't lose it. They just capitulated it again. Then it got to the second test, and England again, pound seats. They were 100 for zero. They needed 260 to win. Plenty of time in the bag. The pitch was spinning, but their batsmen were not getting phased whatsoever. Then it was 161 for six. Still, it's okay. We just needed 112 to win.
And then...
Bowled him! Lovely delivery from Shakib Al Hasan.
This one over was just priceless. Stokes batting so well. Shakib Al Hasan bowls him. Beauty.
Look at the reaction.
Absolute beauty.
Ben Stokes gone for 25.
161 for 7. Still, it's in the balance.
Oh, he's hit him in front. Is that out? Yes, it is. This is unbelievable stuff.
It was the quickest LBW decision ever from the umpire. It was in the middle of the middle, and Rashid refers it.
Oh, wow.
Good decision.
Which basically just says, well, screw everyone batting below me. It's me or nothing. So that was gone. Two wickets, two balls.
Hat-trick. Adil Rashid goes for naught. England, 161 for 8.
May I just point out at this stage that Courtney Walsh, okay, we all know who he was. Legendary West Indians fast bowler.
Yeah.
He is the bowling coach of Bangladesh. You know how many balls were bowled by the seam bowler, by the fine leg?
It's got to be soul-destroying, huh?
So basically, the seamer bowled two overs in this entire match. Everybody that could say the word spin was given the ball. And Courtney Walsh is just there going,
Guys, please.
One, two, three, four, five men around the bat to Shaki bowls.
So they managed to survive the hat-trick. England have had a whole bunch of new guys come in. Catch, gone. Ansari was one of them. He was gone.
Ansari goes. England 9 down. Shakib has him.
So they lost that test, basically.
But Simi, it was one of those great games because...
Yeah, I remember I watched it.
These minnows are eventually going to get better. And Bangladesh have been around for ages. Huh? They've been playing test cricket, I think, since 2008.
Yeah.
But like solidly, mostly against Zimbabwe. But this is the first time they actually put the wood to someone decent.
But that being said, they also
close.
They also lost to Afghanistan in a one-day cricket game this year.
Oh, who hasn't?
Which I want to say was a great game.
You know what? That's, it says something for ICC. I mean, you and I have spoken about it rugby-wise, you know, with World Rugby, putting some real pressure on these bigger nations and coaches and sending oaks into these minor countries.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just going to make cricket better.
Yep.
So I'd love that. Love Ben Stokes going out. I love his reactions as if it was never ever going to happen.
Yeah.
Edges it to third man or something and then goes, oh, it's a pad.
I hope you're going to speak about when Afghanistan beat Bangladesh. That was a great moment. I remember watching it and I was very thrilled.
Simi, I can't do it all. I can't do it all.
Do you know why I was thrilled?
We've still got so much to go and we've got like 10 minutes left.
I just want to say that was the only game where both teams asked Allah if they could win.
Yeah,
they're both praying so hard. I was just like, ooh, this is a tough decision for my God. I want to see what
basically
do.
Basically, it's like watching the Cheetahs versus the Bulls in the Curry Cup.
Yeah, kind of. Put it like
just
that.
With Jesus.
Yeah.
So that was a huge moment for Bangladesh. And everyone just thought, well, India next for England. These guys might as well just, you know, give up. Yeah. It really was. But I just really hope that at some stage, Courtney Walsh will develop a seamer or two. These guys can go overseas and be quite competent against against some of the better teams. But it's nice. It's nice seeing
these kind
of things.
It won't happen until they get their wickets sorted, though.
Yeah, but then again, Langdon, this is going back to the first thing we said, 43 tests, only 7 draws. Home teams are making the most of these home team wickets.
Yeah, but I mean, you're not going to develop a seamer on a wicket like that.
Yeah, I'd love to see the practice nets. I mean, you reckon Courtney gets...
It's made out of Lego, man. It's like Lego blocks.
Okay, Courtney says, I would like some grass for this session. Let's give him a packet of grass. There you go.
Courtney, and he's like, fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll take it. So that was October. And then test match-wise, on top of that, Pakistan played West Indies, and what a great test series that was. The West Indies aren't very good at test cricket. They went there in the second ever pink ball test. They got hammered in Dubai. They went to Abu Dhabi, hammered again. And then the third test in Sharjah, that was quite something. Brathwaite, he held his bat in the second innings. He was the only guy who was untouchable. He was on the field for every single ball of that match while West Indies eventually got a win. That was one of my favorite moments from the whole year. It really was.
Has it ever happened before?
It has.
Yeah.
Once before, I think.
Yeah, I can't remember.
There was an English guy, because I think it was his back garden that played the cricket match.
Okay.
So when he went out, he just put the sums back
in. It was like game over.
Yeah. Like, that was the life of the privileged.
Yeah. My bat, my ball.
So that was that was October, which got us to November. And the Proteas in October still, absolutely hammered the Aussies 5-0. The Aussies decided to not bring any bowlers, just tall guys who couldn't bat properly.
Yeah.
And they got hammered 5-0. And I know it wasn't like a vintage Aussie side, but still, the Proteas turned things around so much mid-year. And this was just kind of bearing fruit now.
Ben, when you met Cricket South Africa, is that when you told them about Shamsi? Is this like, did you say Shamsi?
No,
Chinaman who has never heard of before, like a left-arm Chinaman.
Mystery spinner.
You might want to play him.
Well, he was already playing in the West Indies.
Yeah.
We mentioned that.
Yeah.
But can I just say, from a slight aside here, can we stop using the term Chinaman?
Yeah.
I think it's really derogatory. Because as a left armer, you can also bowl leg spin, right?
Yeah.
Because if you
Ben has changed SA cricket, he's now about to change cricket.
The racial dynamic of cricket
is going to change.
Because you know what people say about the Chinaman? It's the wrong one, basically. Yeah. That's why they're referring to Asian people as being eccentric and different. I think they've got a right to be in this game of cricket like anyone else.
Oh, you've never sounded more like Gareth Cliff than right now.
Ben, what are you going to call it then? What are you going to call him?
A left arm leg spinner.
Yeah, it's not like Shane Warne was a right arm dickhead Chinaman. He was a leg spinner.
He was a right arm dickhead.
But the thing is, my point is that the left arm was burning leg spin just like anyone else.
Yeah.
So you must stop being called a Chinaman.
Yeah.
And that whole Chinese cut, like, people are calling it an inside edge now. See, this is evolution, Langdon. Anyway, let's get back to the real stuff.
I love this man. He's changed so much.
Year, this entire year
There's
was
so much
was
growth about... has happened in 2016. And not
so
only in SA cricket, but at Club Central.
Just with Ben himself.
So much growth.
It was all about the Proteas going to Australia for the test series, right? That's all everyone really cared about. The rest of the stuff we'll be going on about now, it's all been a nice little sideshow. They got there. The general feeling was that the Proteas seamers were better than the Aussie seamers and our batsmen were a whole lot less crap, which I know is quite a sweeping sort of preview, but that was essentially it. I interviewed our Aussie mate, Dennis Friedman, on the show, and he said, look, it's going to be 3-0. And I was like, that's a bit arrogant. He's like, no, 3-0 to you guys. no one actually gave the Aussies a chance. And so you don't want to be drawn into it. I mean, these guys are from convicts. They often lie and deceive. Yes. So I was, you know, staying pretty balanced. After day one in that first test against Perth, I thought, oh, screw it. We're getting absolutely hammered here. This is the protest game back.
Yeah, I was upset to have woken up that early and to have witnessed that.
Everyone woke up early to see Mitchell Starc scaring the living crap out of our openers.
You know?
The term playing an Oscar came out of nowhere on Twitter. Mm-hmm. That's when you don't play with any feet. So Stephen Cook, he was just showing his Oscar.
Yeah.
I thought it was rather derogatory, but at the same time.
Well, I was going to say, Ben, you just watch yourself there. Ben. You watch yourself there, Mr.
Ben, the moral compass of sports.
Hey. Take it away.
Convicted criminal.
Yes.
Different rules apply.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we're talking about Australians.
Okay.
So it was a bit of a dodgy day. It got even worse when Dale Steyn broke his shoulder again.
Yeah.
And that was it. People were basically writing us off because now we're playing Perth, which is a seaming wicket, and we've got two seamers.
Yeah.
We've got two seamers and a debutant left arm orthodox bowler.
Game on.
Sounds like good times.
Game on.
Proteas absolutely rolled them over. The Aussies collapsed not once but twice. Big Vern Philander finally came back to form, which we've been waiting for forever. Yeah. He was injured for like 3 years. And that was 1-0.
Well, he stopped guessing. Vern was quality when he was just bowling across the seam and just going, when he takes a wicket, he goes like, oh, I don't know. What was that? Well, I don't know. And then all of a sudden he started bowling seam up and there was crap. So keep guessing, Vern. Keep guessing.
I take it you weren't an original fan of Werner Philander.
Yeah, well.
No, I love Werner Philander.
Fair enough. Let's move on from there. So it was 1-0, and then they went to Hobart, which no one goes to, which is a very interesting thing about why they even took the two cricket teams there. And under a murky sky, same thing happened. The Aussies collapsed again. Long story short, 2-0, series won. Everyone was happy until they were clutching at straws. They found a sucker in Fatsubasi's mouth.
Some mint gate, eh? What is it?
And then what happened then was the greatest ever rap album cover known to man. It involved Hashim Amla in front of a microphone with the entire team behind him.
Oh, yeah.
It looked like gangster cool rap, but in a very cool PC sense. And
do you have that photo, man?
I've got the interview, and this is one of my favorite clips of the entire year.
Good afternoon, everybody. As you can see, we have the full team behind us here. The reason everybody is here is to stand together, really, and show solidarity to what has been something that was really, what we thought was actually a joke. It's not April, but the allegations against Faf was really...
You've never seen a guy with more, a group of guys with more stern faces.
I'm waiting for JP Doomley to jump in front of me and go, whoa, what?
Everyone is sterner face. I mean, Hash dropped a joke about it being April. No one even blinked an eye. Nothing.
Faster.
It's
really
a good reference.
Yeah. And as a team, we're standing strong. We've done nothing.
Still doesn't sound like a captain.
I'm really angry. I am really angry.
And
And that was that, which then led to all kinds of just ridiculous crap, like... the Aussie reporters were getting in Faf's face. People were calling him a cheat. People saying he'd done this before.
For a security guard travelling with the South African cricket team to be sent home after he aggressively manhandled a Nine News reporter in Adelaide. Tensions in the South African camp.
I love it. The Aussie take on this. The security guard must be sent home for doing his job.
Yeah.
Been running high since Captain Faf du Plessis was charged with ball tampering.
It was the moment the summer of cricket got ugly.
Really?
Is that the moment? Is that the Aussie card launch?
The moment?
Zunaid Wadi, overly protective of under siege skipper Faf du Plessis, smashes Nine reporter Will Crouch into a glass door. Du Plessis has been charged with ball tampering for a...
Look, fair enough. The only bit of truth there was that he was charged with ball tampering. Oh. Okay, so we're not going to get into that either, but that was a funny moment. But what I really loved about this whole thing is that this guy, this Nine News reporter, I bet he's not even a journalist. No. He was just the tallest guy they knew in the office. I mean, he was like maybe a graphic designer. He was like, hey, Will, you come here. You're quite stocky. You play Aussie rules once. Yeah, get in here.
Get in.
And our guy, our security guy, to his credit, punching above his weight. But I've got to ask the question. We have the smallest security guard in Will's
sport,
right?
Bro, did you also see that he was rolling his bag with his left hand? And he pushed the guy away with his right hand.
It's the moment the summer of cricket got ugly. Wait.
Okay, so the moment the summer of cricket got angry, a man was wheeling a bag with one arm.
Yes, with one arm. So I'm just like, yo, when we talk about a guy that assaulted you, he really didn't have the intention. He was
describe
he was leaving the airport.
What was happening? Well, he was wheeling his bag.
He was wheeling his bag and he pushed me. Yeah. And he
it
told me,
leave. It was the
moment
the summer of cricket got ugly.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, I don't know when you come off flights, it's like, I have no intention to fight a buzz when I get off a flight. I really just want to get into the shuttle to the hotel. This guy's literally like, I'm also trying to go to the shuttle.
So we laughed because I think it was very laughable. And it was a sad part of that whole series because the Proteas were so good. They were full value for their win. Faf is still appealing this. It's still going to happen. Whether he's guilty or whatever, people are now going to taint him as ball tamperer.
How upset were they that he chose to appeal?
They were so disappointed that he chose his own
to
right.
To invoke his right to appeal. I was just like, wow, you guys are really assholes.
I was so stoked that he just gave them all the finger in their next test.
Yeah, they did. And that was also one of my moments of the year, was Faf du Plessis getting 100 in the pink ball test. Unfortunately, everyone else is a bit over it.
Yeah.
And then at 259 for 9, whatever, with Shamsi going all guns blazing, looking for that first 50.
Shamsi 50, it's going to happen. Spoke to him at the airport on the weekend when I met him, and I said, yo, I'm very disappointed with Faf that he didn't allow you to get your 50. Yeah. And he said, I don't think I was going to get it. Okay.
Yeah, so modest. No, he was all there.
Yeah.
And then Faf declared. Unfortunately, our bowlers were just crap that whole test.
Yeah.
So that was that, really. So that was the big thing. So 2-1 it was. That was the third test series in a row. The Proteas went there and won. So that kind of was the big year. I mean, I know now India are absolutely killing England in the test series.
I don't count tests in India anymore.
Well, so interesting you say that, because a lot of people are saying, James Anderson included, is that Virat Kohli, he's a great player, we all know that. He's currently averaging 80 for this year. This year alone, he scored something like 2,600 runs for India.
Mm-hmm.
He gets all formats. He's batted 40 times.
Mm-hmm.
His average is something like 88.
Yeah.
It's just crazy.
Yeah, I saw the stat.
Just to look at the stats for the year, actually, as we are going to wrap it up now, is any guesses who has scored the most test match runs for 2016 as of right now?
Must be Kohli.
It's not Kohli. Langdon?
Quincy.
I don't know. English. Is he English?
Langdon, just the name. It's not very difficult.
Cook.
No, it is Johnny Bairstow. He is...
English.
What a disappointing stat.
Very disappointing stat. This is why, okay?
Johnny Bairstow batting where? 6.
Okay, I'll tell you the top three highest run scorers prior to the England versus India fifth test.
Wow.
Johnny Bairstow, most runs, 1,420. Joe Root, second most, 1,383. Third most, Alistair Cook, 1,211. Get the picture here.
Yeah.
Because England keep playing test match cricket.
Yeah.
They've played 16 matches, okay? These guys have gone out with 27, 30, and 31 innings respectively. Then comes Kohli. Kohli's played 17 innings to this point, 1,200 runs. Johnny Bairstow, 27. 10 more innings.
Jeez.
That's crazy.
So are we saying that the stats just mean...
Well, do you guys want to know who the fifth and sixth top scorers for this year are?
No, not really.
Moeen Ali and Ben Stokes.
Yeah. Moeen Ali. Where does Moeen Ali bat in the test matches?
Everywhere,
bro.
Basically,
how do you get in the top 10?
Bro, well, they tell Moeen Ali before the test match, like, yo, he's like, hey, guys, do you not know I'm going to bat? And like, hey.
Just don't go and shower at any point in our innings. Like, don't do anything.
And on the bowling side, Ravi Chadha and Ashwin, he's 11 matches, 71 wickets.
Boring.
It's just ridiculous, really. Boring. 71 wickets, average of 21.32. And that was 2016, so all the big role players. Next up, Proteas have Sri Lanka. Guys, just very quickly, last point of this, who is getting dropped for AB?
Stephen Cook.
Gut feel. Stephen Cook, Langdon?
Yeah.
You guys both want him?
Unfortunately.
Then who's going to open?
I'll go
opening partnership. Yeah. AB comes in, everyone just drops. Well, no one drops because Amla's goes up.
Yeah.
Well, interesting, because Amla is out of form. Had a rocky time in Australia. Only for away series.
Mm.
At home, maybe it's going to do something. Look, Sri Lanka, obviously I'm going to test them as much as anyone else would. But that is it. 2016, all wrapped up. Got to leave the studio. It has been an action-packed hour. It's gone so quickly. Very quickly, Simi, where can we find more of you?
Simi RF on Twitter. That's where you can find me.
And Langdon?
You're not going to find me anywhere, but you will find me with Claremont Cricket Club on the 17th. We are doing our Mexican Christmas thing with Justin Kemp. Claremont, big one. Justin Kemp, I look forward to it.
Okay, Langdon, thank you. That means absolutely nothing to any of us.
Well, it means something to Justin Kemp. Well, it clearly means something to Justin
Kemp.
Well,
get back on WhatsApp.
Because he's there.
Go send another dick pic to him on WhatsApp. That's been the year of cricket.
Look out for that one, Justin.
2016, year of cricket. Thank you so much for joining us. It's been really great. It's such a privilege to be able to talk to such people like this and to you. And 2017 is going to be big things in the world of cricket. Trust me, we've had our turnaround at SA Cricket. I feel there's good structure to this team, good balance.
Thanks, Ben.
Thank you, Ben.
Thank you, Ben.
And I save SA Cricket.
Cheers, guys. Merry Christmas and stuff. CliffCentral.com.